do we have, Brother Tom?
Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.
What?
Hallelujah.
About 120. I'm sorry, friend, but as I walked across the path again, I said, God, this is a pitiful thing, you know, because what advantage has the people who've been coming to this tabernacle over those who haven't been coming? What advantage?
Yes, sir.
See, even then, you know what I want to hear from you. What advantage? Which one of you in this place has had much advantage? I should not have to look for you anymore. See, there's other people come here today, a few extra, a few visitors, but they haven't had the advantage that you have. See? And you say, what advantage have we got? Well, you have as a fellow said from Boston some time ago, you have a real live prophet. Not a fictional one. Not a mesmerizing one. A real live prophet. Did you ever think you would ever sit or stand in the presence of a Jeremiah or Isaiah or John the Baptist? Well, you should say that about yourself. Why not? What's wrong with that? They have Moses and the prophets. Well, you have Moses and the prophets.
Yes.
There are other prophets. Oh, yeah. But there's only one standing in front of you. Yeah, there's many other prophets. But which one do you have? Huh? Oh, you're going to be slow again. How many times to this people around here have I quoted that scripture? You fools, slow to believe. I wouldn't have to talk to you like this if you were not slow to believe all the things I taught you. Brother Enoch had to go out to assist me with cutting a young brother's hair. It was very nice. His brother wasn't fighting about it.
No.
But a good Christian brother should not be wearing dreadlocks.
Amen.
Not at all.
Amen.
And I'm not sure if he's a Christian yet, but I sense from his phone calls and from his attitude that he desires to be.
Yes.
And so what I did was I had him to go outside so they could cut his hair.
Right.
I wonder if I ought to cut some of your hair.
Right.
I wonder if I ought to check some of your spirits and see if, you know, you don't need to be cut down. Oh, but prophets don't do that. I see. Well, not these nice ones you hear on the radio. They don't cut nobody down. No. You know, Jesus said about the fig tree when it wasn't producing fruit, to cut it down.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory.
You know what God put in my hand and in my mouth?
Jesus.
The sword of the Lord.
Yes.
So I can use it to cut it down.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory. Yes.
Well, I didn't know prophets act like that. Well, which book are you reading? What I sound. I'm doing pretty good.
Hallelujah.
Did I lose it again? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Not coming through a sound, is it? Is it coming through now? Well, I don't care how much you hear it. I want to hear it. You see, I tried to tell you people all along. I'm an 80-year-old man. I have spent 90% of my lifetime in the pulpit preaching. Never has there been a preacher like that in your life.
Bless you, Lord.
I've come this far on the preaching that came out of my mouth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how should they hear or believe except they hear? And how should they hear without a preacher? Well, I have been a preacher. And I've heard all the words that came out of my mouth. And so they have produced faith. Faith. Hallelujah. And I can stand here all day long and tell you about about the circumstances and situations that I would find myself in over 60 years of preaching.
Yes. Amen.
And I have met you before.
Yes. Amen.
I know you like the back of my hand. I know the heart of man.
Yes.
I know God, and God knows your heart.
Yes.
He knows your heart. So he puts the word of God in my mouth, which is a discerner of your heart.
Yes.
And the intent... Oh, you see what I did with that young man right away? I made a judgment on him, just like that.
Yes.
I knew he wasn't going to fight me. I just knew he wasn't. I knew it. I knew he would. Now, I wouldn't do it with some of you guys. Some of you guys fight right away. But I pick on you like that. Some of you are already getting on easy, aren't you? Are you going to get on me? Well, how many hope I get on you? Would you like to get the word put on you? I'm coming. Do you really want God to get on your side? You really want to get on your case? Or do you want to leave you alone? Come on, you better straighten up here. I heard their voice speak to me coming to that across the door. He said, you tell them I'm setting before them a way of life. When God sends promise to you, he's bringing you a way of life. You're going to make you decide. You're going to choose. They have Moses and the prophets. Well, you're going to choose now. Do you have a prophet? Are you sure? I tell you, or do you have a witness from Almighty God down the front? Where do you get your witness from? You wouldn't see the witness of a man, that's all right, but a witness of God is greater. Hallelujah! You'd like somebody to believe your witness when you say I'm a child of God? Well, that's a witness of a man. I'd like you to witness from him. His spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Can I witness to you here today? But examine yourselves. Because this is a time where faith is being tried like never before. No other history, no other prophet ever went through a trial of faith like I'm going through. You say, what are you talking about? Because every other prophet before me that God magnified and put to a worldwide order to the church everywhere. Remember, Paul was an apostle, and he was speaking to the saints of God scattered abroad, everywhere.
Yes.
You don't know of another prophet nowhere in this world today who's speaking to the saints of God all over the world.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Look at that little thing again.
Yes.
See that little thing right there?
Yes.
You see that little thing right there?
Yes.
You see that? You know what's going through right there? Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
They heard that all over the world. Say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Say it loud.
I love you, Jesus.
They heard that in Nigeria, Kenya, Cambodia, China, India. What's your name?
Renee.
Well, Sister Renee says she loves the Lord, saint. And your faith is now being spoken of all over the world. Wow! 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 Where? Boy, and you folk can't find something to get excited about. Wind blowing here. No way. Hallelujah. Now we don't get tossed to from every wind. We're waiting on a mighty rushing wind. I don't mind telling you, and I told the people around here, they're so tired of hearing me saying it, that it took you new folk around to help me say it again. Because the old folk right there, they're tired of hearing him say, he's always bragging on himself, and that's a damn lie. You let that come out of your mouth, you are a damn liar. And you keep saying that, you're going to be damned for that lie. Now you play with me if you want to. I am not playing with God or playing with your soul or even my own soul. I'm too close to eternity. I'm too close to the judgment of God for me as a man that I can't play like that with you anymore. You understand, Eddie? And I can't play with you because how much more time is God going to give me to deal with you? Well, you say, Brother Stair, I have to be, I suffer along with you. That's right. That's part of being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Suffering long. Amen. Suffering long. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the long suffering of Christ. Yes. Do you have the long suffering? He's suffering to you. Are you suffering? Yes. Because of what he wants you to do? Yes. Huh? Amen. You know why you're not long-suffering? Because you're not filled with the Spirit.
All right.
Huh? I was trying to explain that to the people this morning. See, long-suffering is the Word of God. Amen. And when you recognize that you're being long-suffering, just like you don't think I'm suffering with you?
Yes.
Look at some of your faces. How would you like me to preach if we look at all these faces? How do you like looking at mine? Not too well, huh? Oh, why can't you put on a happy face, Brother Stair? Hey, you're always angry. Well, anybody's been around me. How about you people around here? Do you have an advantage on that statement alone? What advantage do you have? Isn't that wrong? When have I ever failed God in showing his anger?
My Lord, hallelujah.
Tell me. Tell me, you that live around here. Have you sensed my anger since you've been here? Have you sensed my anger? How about you? Have you sensed my anger? Yeah, you hang around. You will get it. You keep acting like this, you're going to get a real hard rebuke. Huh? You don't sense my anger? Why? Because, see, a prophet, I told you over and over and over again, a prophet feels with the heart of God.
Amen.
And God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day.
Amen.
So if there's any wicked way in you,
amen,
and I deal with you, then what am I going to do?
Sure,
I'm going to show God's anger.
Amen.
And I still remember years ago when people took me on with that. It really hurt my heart when they did it. They said, you ain't got no love. You see, people don't realize that a God of love gets angry. How could a God of love get angry? Was Jesus a love manifestation?
Yeah.
Was he a manifestation of God?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you do if I read in the Bible and said that Jesus being angry?
Amen.
How many times did Jesus get angry? How about the scribes and the Pharisees? Said, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrite, you whitest sepulcher, you blind guides, you can pass land and sea to make a proselyte. When you make him a twofold more child. Boy, if that ain't words of anger, I don't know what is.
Amen.
I don't know what is.
Amen.
See, I'm an angry prophet. God's anger is about ready to be manifested.
Oh, yes.
It's a fearful thing to follow the hands of an angry God.
Yes.
A living God who gets angry.
Oh,
no. Somebody better get the fear of God in you.
Yes.
We mock God. We scoff him. As I walked through the door, I heard the voice again say to me, seducing spirits.
Yes, Lord.
Well, there's no seducing spirits here. Come on. Come on. And the sons of God gathered together.
Yes.
And Satan came among them. And Jesus gathered in the upper room with his 12 apostles. And Satan came among them. You think you were going to gather here in the eyes of God? It's a major work of God, and Satan ain't sitting right here waiting for a chance to throw a monkey wrench in this. You think Satan gonna back away from us and say, no way. He making war with the saints. Oh, saints. Hallelujah. He's out there making war. And too many of you people are on his side.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
didn't know I was going to hear you like that. Then you haven't been hearing me on the radio, have you?
All right.
Oh, well, I see you all the time. You do?
Hallelujah.
A young man like, will you guys get that fellow's hair cut and get him in so I can look at him? I like him.
Amen.
I like his spirit. Come on, quit taking so long. Just take a scissors and cut it off. Don't beautify him. Cut his hair. I didn't send him to a beauty shop. Send him to a barber shop. Beauty shop, you get your hair fixed, and a barber shop, you get it cut. Then cut his hair and get him in so I can give him a hug. Brother had that is so beautiful. That really, I walked over and said, come on, you get right in this, sir. Lord, I want to go. Show me the way. Hallelujah. Where the dreadlocks, what do I want somebody around with dreadlocks on? I don't want to dread him around here. I don't want to dread us. I want to love us. We don't need no dread. Some of you folk are locked in your dreadlocks, aren't you? Sorry. Aren't you locked in your dreadlocks? I'm the only one who has the right to have dreadlocks around here. God said, am I not your dread? You didn't know God said that? Hey, all you Bible boys. You didn't know God said that? Why he said, am I not your dread? Why don't you fear me? How do you show arrogant in my presence?
Jesus.
You know God said that?
It's in the book. Yes.
Yeah, he said that.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He said, why am I not your dread? Why don't you fear me? How come you're not dreading me? How come you sashay around? Hey, brothers, yeah, we came to hear the word of the Lord. Well, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Because that's all I ever do.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Bless it.
It's amazing to watch this generation over and over and over again, time and time again, how they don't like anybody to say they are what they are by God's grace. They don't like you to say you're born again. They don't like you to say you're a Christian. And the reason why, because so many folks have said it and they weren't. So they don't put no credibility. So somewhere in this last hour, we've got to prove to these people that we really are Christians. Hallelujah. That's what God. Come on, God. Just saying I'm a prophet don't mean nothing. I need you to back me up. Would you like to read the verse that precedes that where God says, then they'll know there was a prophet in their midst? You know where that's at, don't you? Sure, it's in Ezekiel, poor Ezekiel. Ezekiel died a young man, you know. You know one of the things God did with Ezekiel? Now you don't know. You're smart, Alex. You think you know the scriptures all of a sudden I start quoting it to you.
Glory.
You know what God said to Ezekiel one time? He said, I'm going to kill your wife.
Amen.
I'm going to kill her.
Right.
She said, and don't you dare cry.
Amen.
Don't you dare weep over it. He was a young man and he served. God killed his wife.
Yes,
and God said, no. I want you to show you how serious I am, Jacob. I want the people to see how serious I am.
Amen.
Don't you cry over that.
Amen.
Now look at they're all questioning me now.
Amen.
Oh, you Bible believers, huh? I didn't know that's in there.
Yes,
I didn't know that was in there.
Hallelujah.
And we'll kill your husband. He did. And God killed Rick.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
This young woman's husband.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Very precious brother.
Yes,
sir. Don't even like to think about him because I miss him.
Yeah.
He had a few quirks. He was a man. He failed a lot of things and couldn't get along with some of you, and some of you couldn't get along with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus. I think he was the first fellow that old David Jackson got upset about.
Yep.
Well, David Jackson ain't here, neither is Rick. But if I'm going to refer to somebody, I'm going to refer to Rick rather than David Jackson. Because
yes.
David Jackson was a low-down hypocrite.
Oh. Yes.
A low-down, scoundrelly hypocrite.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. How? Why, he used to tell me how much he loved me? Yeah. Used to come in bawling, scrawling, yeah. I don't think I could ever stay around if you weren't here. And then he left.
Amen.
Then he forsook the cause.
Amen.
He went back.
Amen.
From that morning on, many went back.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, brother, why did all these people leave you? Why did they leave Jesus?
Yes.
Did anybody ever leave Jesus?
Yes.
Why are some of you folks to leave here mad at me?
Yes.
Why are some of you go? Huh? You're not going to leave, are you? Why then? It's not old Joe to leave me. Sitting over there, sitting on the back seat. He knows he better not react wrong to me. I'll throw him right out of here.
Amen.
Oh, you can't do that. Is that right?
Yes, you can.
Well, you people better learn the scriptures.
Yes.
Jesus told us a story of a man that had a wedding.
Amen.
Are we going to have a wedding?
Yes.
Are we preparing for a wedding?
Yes.
What do you do when you prepare for a wedding? You prepare your wedding garment.
Amen.
What is your wedding garment? Well, your wedding garment is the righteousness of the saints. It's a spirit of righteousness. You have a spirit of righteousness on you, then you're ready for the wedding. Hallelujah. If you don't have a spirit of righteousness on you, then you don't have your wedding garment on.
Hallelujah.
Are you reacting right here? I will know. Believe me, I will. I can tell how the way you wrinkle your nose. I can tell how you use your eyes. You know, Bible said in one place they go like that. Another place they go, yeah. Did you know the Bible said they put their fingers to their nose?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes,
did you know it?
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, blessed be.
Who found that scripture for me?
Oh, bless you.
About Ezekiel. I'm not sure somebody find that for me. Say, he going to ask for it. The reason I want you all to read it, folks, because the moment I said that, I looked back and said, come on, where do you find that at? That's not in the book. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is in the book.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory God.
Thank you, Lord.
Got it?
Glory God. Woo.
Chapter
2,
verse
5. Chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And verse number 5. Read it out.
And they, whether they hear or whether they shall prepare.
Is God talking to Ezekiel now?
Yes, Lord.
Whether they hear or whether they what?
Forbear.
Forbear. You know what the word forbear means? Just put up with it.
Hallelujah.
I don't like what it's saying, but talk to Ezekiel now.
Yes,
ma'am. Anybody, any of you people don't know that Ezekiel, like Daniel, was a latter-day prophet.
Yes.
His whole thing had to do with the end time.
Yes.
If you go back and read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find when after God deal with Ezekiel, he starts him in laying out the pattern for the church.
Oh,
the temple.
Yes.
Friends, almost the last 3 or 4 or 5 chapters dealing with putting the house together.
Yes.
Don't tell me I'm wrong again. Read on now.
For they are a rebellious
army. For they are a rebellious. Wow. A prophet being told that?
Amen.
They are a rebellious house?
Amen.
Read.
Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
That's not the one I was looking for, Al, but that's okay. The one I was looking for, God told me what? We're looking for, brothers, sisters, saints, people listening to me. I want to prove to you that God told Ezekiel his wife was going to die and that he shouldn't even mourn her.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I wanted you to hear. Isn't that shocking? Isn't that shocking?
Amen.
Brother Patterson, just what would you do if God said to you, I'm going to take your wife tonight, and I don't want you to weep or cry or mourn over her.
All right. Hallelujah.
Lord. Oh, Jesus. Boy, poor problems got to pay a heavy price, don't they?
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes, sir.
Where's it found at now?
Ezekiel 33:33.
Read it, please.
And when this cometh to pass.
And when this cometh to pass.
Lo, it will come.
And lo, it will come.
Then. Shall they know that a prophet had been among them.
And when what comes to pass?
Whatever.
I'm looking for this place where God told Ezekiel he was going to take his beloved.
Yeah, 24:16.
My God, I must have said that four times here.
Amen.
You mean to tell me nobody here knows it's in there? I must have read wrong then. He used the word beloved.
But
24:16. Wow. Where's all my Bible students around here?
Right here. Praise God.
Isn't that something? How you people, you even heard me talking about before, and you never were diligent enough to go search and see if it's the truth.
24:16.
Are you sure now? Don't play games with me.
Glory.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
Read it.
Also the word of the Lord came unto me.
Also the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel.
Son of man.
Son of man. R.G. Stare. Ezekiel. Son of man, I'll explain that to you.
Hallelujah.
Read on.
I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes.
I take away from thee the desire of thine heart with a stroke.
Oh, yes.
And neither shalt thou mourn.
You shall mourn.
Nor weep.
Nor weep.
Neither shall thy tears run down.
Nor tears even come out of your eyes.
Amen, Lord.
Forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead.
Amen.
Bind the tire of thine head upon thee.
Yes,
Lord. See how God tell him the desire?
Amen.
Does anybody know how I've been through that?
Yes. Amen.
I believe Ezekiel loved his wife.
Oh, yes.
But why did God? Because Ezekiel's a sign. Prophets are signs.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He was a sign here.
Glory to God.
It's a work being done in the book of Ezekiel. That it's like I said this morning in the dining hall. When you read the word, Anywhere, the word this generation, I don't care where it is, it refers to this one.
Yes.
When you read in the Bible a word this generation, it was all of the things that were written in the scripture were written for the fulfillment of all things in this generation. This is the last one. There won't be another one. This is the voice of the last day prophet of God. Said that. God, I wish you wouldn't have said that. And now there's a time when I said, I won't ever say it anymore.
Amen.
Isn't this something? You people really are stubborn, huh? You won't get the soberness of this. Huh? How many people believe that you're really a Christian? Until you almost don't want to tell them anymore. When you tell anybody you're a Christian, they're going to start challenging you right away.
Amen.
Because if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that.
Amen.
You know, if you folks were really spirit-filled Christians and led of God, you wouldn't be here now. You know that. You know, God didn't lead you here, did he? Did he?
Yeah.
Would you make that confession?
Yes.
Other people come to me and say to me, you're a false prophet. Right in my face. I'd say, well, then what are you doing here? Where'd that fellow with that hair? My God, I could have taken him outside, took the scissors, cut it myself.
Bless you, Jesus.
hearts ain't hard to cut.
No.
Unless you dread to do it.
Right.
Hey, look, the door to let you in, let you out. I will give you a break right now. You may leave. Now, you're not going to leave? Then I ask you a question. What's keeping you here? I'm not keeping you here. It's what's keeping you here? Huh? Well, God is. And God would bring you to hear a false prophet? The Spirit of God would lead you to all truth? He would lead you to a false prophet? You damn fool, you. You're so stupid and you're ignorant. God don't lead you to error. He don't lead you to false prophet. He leads and guides you to all truth. Moses and the prophets. They don't believe them. Neither would they believe. You know why you have to believe this prophet? Because he's going to help you believe that Jesus is coming. He's going to help you get ready for the coming of the Lord. He's going to help you prepare to meet the king when he comes. He's going to take out the rod and do a little whooping. Take the sword and do a little cutting. The king is coming.
Glory.
I told all week long of it, telling the story of a man who challenged me on that years ago. I had a lot of folks challenge me. You know, we're challenging people.
Yes.
We're challenging. Now, God doesn't mind you proving him. But don't challenge him. He's God whether you like it or not. All you got to do is prove that he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For your sake. Prove all the things the Bible says. So prove it. You want to find out about true prophet? Prove it. It puts you to the test. You'll find one thing about me, I won't compromise. Cost me a lot. This has cost me a lot. God told me years and years ago, before any of you ever showed your face around, he said, you are going to become the most hated preacher. The part I like about that is he called me preacher. Preacher. Hallelujah. I'm glad when you call me prophet, but I'd rather have you call me preacher. For how should they believe without a preacher? And how should they preach except to be sent? And you got a preacher that's been sent. Oh, I don't believe. Well, unto you is a prophet sent. That ought to get you excited. That little widow woman, when the prophet sent, probably showed up, she got excited. Yes, sir. Now the leper, he didn't get too excited. The guy with the leprosy, you know, iniquity. He didn't get too excited. The prophet said to him, go dip seven times in the River Jordan. He said, what? Can I go join my own church? Get baptized my own preacher? Can I believe my own doctrine? Now go down to old Muddy Jordan and wash yourself. Ah, come on. Isn't my religion more refined than this one? Isn't my preacher more dignified than that one? Why do I got to put up with that? Why can't I heap to myself a nice little sweet-talking preacher, teacher? Say to me, prophesy smooth things. Tell me nice things. Don't tell me all these terrible things. Jesus said it like this. Any man be my disciple, let him first deny himself. Well, how many of you have done that on a daily basis? So you're not qualifying too much, are you? that he might be my disciple and first deny himself. Hallelujah. He can be crossed daily. Yes. Daily.
Yes.
Daily. Yes. And if you don't do it, you're not my. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Well, that's not words of life. Sure they are.
Yes.
So you deny yourself, take up your cross, and you're my disciple indeed.
Yes.
See?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hallelujah. How many like to know if you're his disciple? How many like the world to know you're his disciple? He said, by this shall all men know you're his disciple. You have love one for another. And there's one thing you will love. You'll love the truth. Hallelujah. And you come to receive not the love of the truth. They don't have no love nowhere.
Thank you, Lord.
I've been talking about Ezekiel this week because, you see, it was... I have a door job. You understand that?
Yes.
I have to keep informing God's people about what's going on in the world to let them know the nearness of Christ coming.
Amen.
And then I have to talk to God's people to deal with their iniquity.
Amen.
That's separating them. They call the grass cold.
Yes.
Because iniquity abounds.
Yes.
How would you like to hear God speak to you as a prophet and say, tell them what I just said. Because iniquity abounds. Ow! 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 My God, you closed the book?
Oh, God. My Lord. Oh, Jesus.
How would you like to be a prophet of God sent to the last day church with this message?
And they, whether they hear.
And they? Whether they hear.
Or whether they forbear.
Or whether they forbear.
For they are a rebellious
house. For they are a rebellious house.
What? Yes, you'll know.
Not here. But none of you got rebellion in you, do you? What am I supposed to do, call God a liar? God told me years ago I'm going to send you a young man.
Yes, Lord God.
How old are you, sir?
Okay.
How old are you?
72.
Oh, you're a young man.
Amen.
Compared to me. How old are you, sir?
81.
Oh, you're a little bit older than me. So you get off the hook. But I'll tell you what, I'm 82, but God has to still deal with me about rebellion. Where you at, brother? Oh, you look good. Wow, do you look nice. Oh, wow. My Lord, I appreciate that, brother. God bless your heart. Now, don't you go let them grow again, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right? Let the grace of God grow. Let the word of God grow. Let the truth grow. And then you become a strong man. Give him a big old hug. Say, honey, you sure do look good. Now I got myself a man, and I don't have to dread him. Boy, I didn't look at that for a while. That looks so much better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Oh, I feel so much better talking about this good old way. I feel so much better talking about the Lord. Oh, let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking. I told my good friend who's been picking us up on 1270, said he'd be here tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
He wasn't sure if he'd fit in. I said, well, we're a little bit different over here.
Yes.
No, this is not a Baptist service. This is not a Assembly of God service.
No,
no, this is a gathering of the saints of the Most High God. Glory be to God. And every last one of you ought to be ready to jump to your feet and say, glory to God. So much, brothers and sisters. Are you brothers from Pennsylvania? Yeah. Well, let me tell you about a Pennsylvania situation, okay? Do you know I'm a Pennsylvania boy?
Amen.
I was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Amen.
I was born on Fire Lane.
Amen.
In Bethlehem, I like that name, Fire Lane.
Amen.
In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Yeah, you're Pennsylvanians. He is, and you're not? Where are you from?
North Carolina.
What? Oh, well, that's getting closer. Well, let me tell you a story about Pennsylvania. I was preaching up there, out near Harrisburg, in the gospel 10 years ago.
Amen.
And at that time, I was a little more friendly. When I'd have a perfect 10, I'd try to meet everybody. I don't do that here. Some of you folks, that sister over there, she tried to talk to me this morning. I wouldn't talk to her. See, the first time I ever heard from that sister right there, and I know her, I said, when we start talking about her coming, I said, she's trouble. And she is. She's trouble. She not only is she trouble, she's trouble.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And she thinks, if I can just come and live with the saints, I'll settle all my problems. No. Because you're going to bring her trouble with her.
Yeah.
And you're troubled. You come here with us, you bring your trouble with you. You bring your baggage with you. You can't live with your sister, you can't live with your husband, you can't hardly live with us. I don't care what everybody says. Come on, folks. You think you're going to go someplace and change your way of living and you're going to... When somebody can't get along with you someplace, so that means it's going to be hard. I don't care what it is. I've been around too long. I've dealt with too many folk. As I said many times, I've met you before. Yeah. Well, I made that sister tell what I did to her. I turned her off. She how many times did I write you a message? Don't you come like that? And last night, you really didn't think I was going to do what I said I would do, did you? I called your brother today. I'm down at the bus stop. Huh? And while he was talking the second time, bingo. Oh, come a little emissary. Isn't that something? I don't know if you heard my call, Brother Stair. I heard it.
Right. Amen.
And immediately, I sent down a bus stop to get him.
Right.
Huh? And then I asked a question. I said, a young man, I said, does she have a lot with her? He said, no, it's a little bag. Good. Why that? Because I told her she can come to this meeting this weekend. I'll put her up to stay, pray to stay. And then she has to leave on Monday. Well, I don't want to leave. I'd rather stay here. There's, anybody that's ever come around here with
right.
any kind of problem, especially when you only have a little bit of money,
yeah.
who would want to stay here?
Right.
We pay all your bills,
Amen.
Feed you all the time, give you a place to stay,
right.
give you almost everything you want.
Amen.
Who would want to stay here?
Nobody.
Except the ones that can't get all they want.
Right.
Then they don't want to stay here.
Right.
Then get all they want here, they'll stay.
Right.
But see, when you come here, you get rid of the want.
Right.
The Lord is my shepherd. He's led me here, and I don't want no more. I don't want no more. I don't want no more of the world. I don't want no more sin. I don't want no more of the devil. I don't want no more anger. I don't want no more. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And he'll lead me beside still pastures. Yeah, he'll lead me. Yeah. Help me through this, folk. None of you want to bring your trouble. Like that fellow over there. See, he came over. And he come up here on a parking little camper. Now, I can tell you, brother, I can tell you, right. I got a place right over there I can put your camper. I got one over there, we hook it up. I got one back there. I could hook you up just like that.
Yes, you can. Amen. That's
true. But when you came here, I said, boop, get out of here.
Yeah.
Why do you do that? You see, some of you people don't get it through your head that one of these days Jesus is going to say, get out of here.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And many shall seek to enter. And he shall say, depart.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What is that?
Get
out of here. What is that? Well, what is that?
Amen.
Jesus is going to talk like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, that one there is really bad. Because he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Do you understand the only one that God knows, he foreknows?
Right. Right.
If he don't ever know you, he never foreknew you. So you're not even chosen. You understand? And you're trying. That's why you see me walk down the aisle like this. What do I do? Well, I'm checking the spirits. Because one of these days I might stand right in that door and say, you don't come in. That's what God told me. One of these final days of judgment. Oh, well, you ain't going to be around long. That'll be interesting. Maybe you've got to get me out of the way and get into the kingdom, huh? Well, you make crazy statements. I sure do. I'm a, as far as the world is concerned, I'm an insane man. I've lost my mind. Sure have. I quote to you, 6 months after I'm dead, and I will be killed. God told me that. They will kill you. So they will hate you, and the hatred will get to the point where they will kill you. He told me that 40 years. He said, you are going to be killed. They will kill you. And they will think they're doing God a service. Has any of you folk ever killed me? Has you all thought you were doing God a service when you made a judgment against me? I believe you have a right to make a judgment. I believe you have a charge to make a judgment. But don't make one against me. I believe you have a right to judge your brother and sister, but don't judge against them. Don't ever make a judgment against them. The spirit of Antichrist is against. You understand? The spirit of Christ is for. Hallelujah. Never against. Always for. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Now you judge. Is God for me? You judge. And over and over and over again, I tried to show you people. Look how uncouth I am. Look how crude I am. How in the world? $1 million a year. Never take an offering in this place. Never. 100,000, close to 100,000 every month. Over and over and over again. I pay the bills. God, give me the money. Jesus paid the cost. God gave him the cost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He paid it. He paid your debt on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You think money is a blessing? No, sir. Money's a curse. And God's always saving from the curse of money. I said to many people over and over again, I come up in the air where preachers were screwing around, running around, gambling, committing adultery. I was brought out of that mess. I was a part of it. I should have been destroyed. You know what I did one time, brother? I stood right in this congregation, right here, so I can stand with you. And I stood up front for you. I said, I committed adultery.
Yes, you did.
That one and that one. Right here. I did it on the radio. I did it publicly.
Yes.
Because God told me to do it.
Thank you.
And I still survived.
Hallelujah.
That's something. That is, well, so have you? You committed adultery. Yeah, you have. You ever looked at a woman you lost? You committed adultery. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You sinned. What is adultery? Lying? Cheating? You sinned. This is a faithful saying. Faithful.
Yes.
Who is faithful? Why, he is.
Yes.
This is a faithful saying.
Yes.
A faithful saying of the faithful one.
Yes.
The one who is faithful and just to forgive you of all sin.
Yes.
Do you know that one? Do you know?
Yes.
What other hope do you have here today of entering into the kingdom if you didn't have your sins forgiven? Confession over the radio? Huh? Now you watch what happens this week. God's going to send me a big offering. Yeah, he will. Because you're faithful, sir. I didn't go and say, boy, am I holy? Although I am holy. But I'm not saying I'm holy because I say it. I say I'm holy because he said it. Many times people ask me, how do you account for the success? I came here several years ago with $250 in my pocket. God had told me to get out of cities, and I got out of them. I was corrupted by being in the cities. The ministry was corrupted by being in the cities. The ministry... I'll tell you this morning some of the things I used to do, all them shenanigans that I was taught by some of these great preachers.
Glory! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How do you think this Philadelphia church age, where God was confirming and working with them with signs, one day turned everyone into merchandising ministries? Every one of them. Every one of them. They made merchandise of the people. Okay, bring me $100 offering, I'll pray for you, and God will heal you. That's not, you can't buy healing. You can't do that. Well, bring me $100 and God will give you a new car. God don't give cars. God don't give houses. That comes from the world. God gives you joy, peace, happiness, love. His name is it Jesus or Yahshua? And we had a big discussion. Where it's both, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Ah, stop it.
Praise
you know the angel that spoke back in the Bible didn't say Jesus.
No, sir.
The English language wasn't even used.
No,
he said to the angel, you should call his name Yeshua, Jesus, whatever. Don't you know that God can say Jesus in every language? Neither you can say it. You can, somebody can say it and you'll still know it's Jesus. Do I have anybody who can speak a foreign language? Who can speak a foreign language? I don't mean Spanish now. That's not too far. Spanish is getting too much to equal with English. Anybody speak Italian? Or... German? Japanese? Yingong? Boy, you people are something else. I don't know how to... Come here, come here. Here's a Nipponese. This is a Japanese from the good old Tokyo. Is that where you found her? Where'd you find her?
I found her in Tokyo.
Tokyo. That's Craig Mack back there, a multimillionaire rapper. He broke now.
Yes.
So we're getting rich in faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. He married this. He went to Japanese and he rapped.
Yes.
And he caught this one right here. Yes. And she comes over here with her. Yeah, she see how she acts. She's Nipponese or Japanese or Japanese. Okay. Say Jesus in Japanese.
Yes, Cristo.
Well. I'm glad you can say it, but I understand what you said. But you can't say it like that. That's same Jesus. Same Jesus.
Same.
See, you'll learn things from me you won't ever learn from anybody else. Nobody else. No.
That's right.
Because you see, I'm in the process of restoring many of the things that have been distorted, corrupted, and polluted.
Amen, sir.
For instance, somebody was saying to me, do you keep the Sabbath? Or Paul said to me the other day, I worship on Saturday. Is that right? First of all, you don't worship God on any day.
Amen.
You worship God on every day.
Amen.
God did not set aside a day of worship. God did not set aside a day of worship. The Sabbath day is a day of rest.
Yes.
It's symbolic of the kingdom age.
Yes.
When Jesus is going to rest.
Yes.
He's going to be the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's the last
yes.
day. It's the seventh day.
Yes.
It's the third day. Glory be to God. It's a day of rest.
Yes.
Now you can worship on Saturday, but you ought to worship God every day in everything.
Yes.
Even your work. God is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. So whatsoever you do, working on a job, driving a car, you're doing his own to the Lord. What do you give the Lord? Well, you worship. You worship. You worship. You worship. You worship. We have what the world has done with God. They make God have to almost defend his claim every day that he's God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so today, most of us, we won't even believe in God unless he heals.
Glory.
Yeah, Brother Branham, the great man of God, who God used tremendously, would actually use that approach.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to prove to you that Jesus Christ is alive, he'd say. And he'd pray for somebody in Jesus' name. He said, now if Jesus is alive, he'll heal him.
Amen.
And God always stood behind him. Why? Because Jesus is alive. But see, God's not using that method now. Now he's using pure, simple faith. He's alive whether he opens blind eyes. He's alive whether he heals the sick or not. He's coming again. He's come over by himself. And the wind doesn't kill. So he's getting us to turn away from all these things that we use to prove he's God. Now, he blessed me with that. A few weeks ago, I got a little bit of trouble. Not so much because the money stopped coming. I've made some statements, folk, over the years. Maybe you don't hear them, maybe you forgot them, but I made some statements. I said, I'll never go in debt. You hear me? I want you brothers and sisters that are here for the first time. I'd like to see everybody hold your hand and Liz here with me. Hold up your hand, please. Every last one of them, I got them out of debt. Not a person here owes anybody any debt. Isn't that in this society, in this generation? They don't own anything, yet they own everything. Wow! I wish somebody would say praise the Lord. They're able to give more money than they ever gave. You know, we have people here that get Social Security. Here's a brother. Shut up, brother. He was just joined. We joined him one time in the will of God, and then he just joined himself. Went and joined himself to somebody else. And then he come back here and had to cultivate him out and cut the weeds out. And
hallelujah.
I ain't never going to leave. I told you I'm going to leave you alone.
Hallelujah.
If I leave you alone, you'll go right back to your old stuff.
Right.
And I ain't going to leave you alone. Because you can't do that no more.
Hallelujah.
So help me God, you can't.
Glory.
Bless you, Jesus.
He gets $4,000 a month pension. He gives it all. He's in a place where he can actually give it all. Isn't that something? Wouldn't that be nice if you could get to the place with God where you give it all? You know what happens when you give God all? He gives you all. He gives you all he got. Hallelujah. My God should supply all of your riches, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory. So he'll give you all grace, he'll give you all truth, he'll give you all mercy, he'll give you all love. Wow. Because we use it to rescue the perishing.
Amen.
We use it to care for the dying. Oh, Jesus is mercy. God bless you. Go shout a little bit, brother.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know when he came here? I pushed him out.
Amen.
Well, Jesus would do that. He wouldn't.
Glory.
Wow.
Do you know you're all castaways?
Yes.
Your family push you out.
Yes.
Your church will push you out.
Yes.
Your friends will push you out. You follow Jesus. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. Huh? We're all castaways, you know. And so Jesus said, when he heard that they had cast him out, he came to him. And when you come, then he won't cast you out. I got a lot of things just burning inside of me. Sure do. You know, and the only reason I do it because I'm so dismayed with the world today. I have to fight it with everything inside of me. I said, as I walked through that door, I set before you a way of life and a way of death.
Amen.
The prophet has the words of life. Whoso will not hear that prophet will end up being cut off. Dead, die.
Hallelujah.
How many people do I got to show you who's done that? That sat right here in this tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
Pre preach in that pulpit.
Yes. Jesus.
And they left because I confessed my sin. Isn't that something? How would you let Jesus leave you because you confess your sins? He won't do it, will he? He won't leave you. Is this one of you here repent of your sin this morning? Angels will start shouting, and you'll have to raise your voice. You're going to shout them, angels. Bob said, there's more rejoicing. Look at all the rejoicing that's going on in here. Can you imagine what's going on in heaven if just one of you is repenting? Conservative. And he went leaping and shouting and praising God. And you know where that's at. Boy, I can go story after story. Let me go back to Pennsylvania, all right? I was preaching in his tent. And at that time, people like I did, I would get up and try to meet everybody because I wouldn't get too many people. Right, look, just look at it again. Will you please look at it? Will you please? Huh? I preach in America on stations all night long. I got one right over here that I'm on 24 hours a day. WCKY covers this whole territory. WBA covers it. Huh? I have an audience on precedent every night. And I can't get more people than this. That doesn't make sense, does it? Seems like I ought to have a tabernacle to see 50,000 people. Come on, with an audience like that? You don't get understand it, huh? But God told me a long time ago, because I see a word about that. If you're such a man of God, how come you don't get more people? I'd say, my God, maybe I'm not a man of God. Right. I've been in New York preaching, spending thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You're what I can show for. You're another one. Oh, there's another one. But I've preached in New York for years. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that a true prophet doesn't get many people.
Amen.
The false prophets get many. If this was one of those fine soothsaying preachers, he'd have to have the big arena downtown. They won't even come. It's not big enough for him. They would charge you to get in. And I just said it again this morning. We've been here in this tabernacle for well over 10 years. There's a story how we got it. It only cost about $35,000. Amazing, huh? A building like this that God put in my hands. Or else you know what buildings like this cost 10, 15 years ago. And I can tell you a story all behind it. I went to Pennsylvania and I put up a tent. And I wouldn't get many. I might have had 15 or 20. And so I, 10 minutes come, I go out. I was so glad. You know, you're only getting a few. Hey, so glad to see you. And you notice I wasn't too glad to see y'all this morning. no more. I was any more glad to see you than you were to see me. We are both putting up with each other, aren't we? Are we just forbearing with each other? Yeah, I'm putting up with your long looks and your grouchy faces, and you're putting up with my harsh words and my reproach. And that's the long suffering. That's God giving you long suffering, giving me long suffering. So let's count the long suffering of God as His desire to save us. Hallelujah! Yeah, quote scripture. I just quote scripture. Count the long suffering of God as your salvation. Because if God wasn't suffering with you, you'd be in hell right now. But it's so long suffering, isn't it? Isn't he long suffering?
Thank you, Lord.
No?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, God.
That's what I do. I count the long suffering of God. I believe I irk God almost every day of my life. Because I have to fight iniquity. Iniquity is my way. I say, God, can I get out of here? Can I leave this place? Can I shut this broadcast down? I'm so weary with it, God. Then I'll say, oh my God, I'm sorry, I should have said that. Why? Because God said, don't be weary. And here I get weary. Then I gotta ask God to forgive me for getting weary. I'll stagger sometimes and I'll have to say, God, forgive me. Yeah. Thank God for forgiveness. I got to confess. And then I'll do it. I get real hard. And then I walked over this guy here because I about had this guy in hell. I let him know he keeps messing around the way he's doing here. He's right on the brink. And for several days, I'd leave him alone. Then the other day, I repented a little bit. And I have to actually go back and say, did you see what I did? Because he's so stubborn. Such a stubborn old man. You see, when you give what you give, you think you give God something, don't you? I give him my body, I give him my mind, I give him my money. So, what am I going to get in return? Now, Peter said, we've left all to follow you. What are we going to get? See, I got people here, brother. I shock you right out of your wits. Where's Robert at? Where's Robert at? I want to show you fellowship. You ain't never seen nothing like this. I promise you, as old as you are, if I can find this young man, I'm going to show you something. Get him over here. Have you ever seen anybody or met anybody who gave $2 million to God? Well, you're going to see one in a minute. Not an old man either, a young man. Was he down his house? He might be down in town because he got a very bad leg.
Yes. Amen.
He got $2 million for a settlement.
Amen.
And he gave it all.
Amen.
He gave it all. $2,100,000. And he's still here.
Amen.
And he better be glad to be here because he got out and got himself in a mess and got himself in trouble. And because he was here, he found forgiveness.
Good.
The $2 million would have got him out of it.
No.
Could have paid his way out of that with $2 million. But the grace of God got him out of it. Hallelujah. And my brothers and sisters who can look at that and say, you're forgiven, brother. And we rejoice in you. Wow. Isn't that something? Huh?
Amen.
I think you folk ought to be appreciative. Of the Almighty God that drew you to a place. We'll tell you over and over again, if there's ever a place where there's love, it's right here. Not human love, because when we have to show our human love, we don't do so good with that. We don't get along too well when it comes down to loving brothers after the flesh. Come on. But because we're filled with the Spirit and the love of God, the shed abroad in our heart, there was no problem, brother. Come up here. See, some folks say, what you doing hugging that nigga? Well, he ain't no nigga. He's a brother. Become friends. Hey, let brotherly love continue. You might end up being my friend. So after all the hard time towards this guy, finally I walked and said, how you doing? because I'd warn him about how he's doing. Amen. I'd warn him. How you doing? Huh? And he just looked at me. Okay, you're doing better. I'm still a little shaky though. You know, what happened was I went to put this tent up, and I was walking around outside. People were coming. And a car pulled up, and the man got out, and he said, "Are you Brother Stan?" I said, "Yeah, that's me." He says, "Heard you on the radio here in Redline." Okay. Said, "Heard you say you're a prophet."
Amen.
Anybody hear that?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of bold, ain't it?
Yeah.
Would you want to say you're a prophet in the day of false prophets? How do you like saying I'm a Christian in the day of false Christians?
That's right. Yeah.
How do you like that one?
Right.
It don't impress too many people, does it, when you say you're a Christian today, does it? Does it? Huh? Well, you say I'm a born again one. Now you really, you know, Jerry Carnes said he was born again. Hello? Well, everybody that has received Christ should be able to say I'm born again. Sure. On the basis of what he did, not what you did, but what he did. Hey, you didn't bring yourself to birth. He brought you to birth. He's still forming you to bring you to birth. He wants to bring us forth as the sons of God. Hallelujah. The man says, I'm called to be a prophet too. Boy, have I heard that. God, have I heard that. You know, God never told me to ever go to another prophet to confirm that I was a prophet.
All right. Amen. Praise.
And if you get right with God, you won't have to convince anybody you're a child of God. All you got to do is believe it. And the believers will believe with you. If they're not believers, I don't care how you live, they still won't believe you. What would you like me to do today to convince you that I'm a prophet? What? How would you like me to talk to you? How would you like me to appeal to you? What would it take to... What came you out here to see?
Right.
Isn't that something? You can actually see a prophet when you actually see one. Hello? You didn't see when I walked through that door, everybody stood up? I don't tell them to do that. That's not required. I didn't say, "Now you all stand up and honor me." I didn't say that. In fact, it actually makes you want to conquer down a little bit and say, "Come on, stop doing that. Give God the glory." Now, what happened was that meeting that night, the fellow said, "I'm a prophet, just like you." But he said, "I don't know what a prophet does."
Amen.
"So I heard you say you're a prophet, so I come out here to see what a prophet does." I said, "Okay, come on and sit down here and I'll show you."
Hallelujah.
"Would you like to see what a prophet does?" Huh? He does some tough things now.
Amen.
How about that little prophet sent to that little widow woman? Stone broke, didn't hardly have enough money to live. He says, "Make me a cake first." What? The guy had never missed a meal. The poor woman's already starved to death, going to eat and die. And everyone says, "Hey, give me a cake first." What kind of... "Oh, Brother Stan, I can't give you any money because I'm on fixed income." Who fixed it? God's income is not fixed. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Not fixed. Hallelujah. Glory. You know what you do it, buddy? You try to get pleasure. You try to fulfill your lust. Well, God says, "Look, I'll tell you what. You give it to me and I'll fulfill your joy. I'll fulfill your mind. You won't hardly need anything in this world. You just let me fill you with his love. Come on, young." And boy, if you don't know you're going to need that when the world cuts you off from everything, 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 driving down the highway, wouldn't that be something, brothers? Did you drive down? Wouldn't there be someone if you walked out and said you can't drive today anymore unless you have your mark? You'd have to stay here. That means I'd have to put up with you, and you'd have to put up with me. And you, Lord, have mercy. Jonathan. Ay, 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 ay. I run him off a lot of times. I don't know if I ever give you a hug, have I? I did? When did I do that? Long time.
Years ago, up there.
Yeah, when you were still in your snot-nosed place, huh?
Amen. That's true, Father.
You know how rare it is for me to walk up to somebody like you and give them a hug? I don't do it. I just don't do it. Now, I'll tell you what I will do. God tell me to do it, I'll do it. But if you tell me to do it, I ain't going to do it. I do what God tells me to do.
Amen.
Yeah. See, that's what happened with that prophet. See, he come in and said to me, I don't know what a prophet does. I said, well, you come and sit down and you watch me work and I'll... You'll see what a prophet does. Just like how you see what a prophet does. Well, what does a prophet do? He reproves. He rebukes. He exhorts. His word, the word of God in his mouth is like fire. You're like wood. Huh? The word of God's in my mouth. Well, I don't want to... My mouth don't line up with your theology.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
My manner of life. What about my manner of life? Huh? That's the way I live. Do you know of another preacher that lives with the people like I do? I eat with them every day. I live among them all the time. Never take no paycheck. Don't owe a thing. Don't own a car. Don't own a house. Don't have no health insurance. Don't have no death insurance. How many folks live around me like that? That's the way I live. Isn't that where Jesus lived? Though he was rich, $30 million went through my hands in the last 30 years, and yet I'm still poor. I'm still poor. Though I could have been rich now, I still become poor. Huh? So that you, through this poverty, might be made rich. Oh, hallelujah. And you can get to know the riches of his grace. And my God. And what do we need here? What do we need? We have our own milk. We have our own butter. We have yogurt every day. We have our own meat. We don't have to go to the store and buy hardly anything. All of this organically grown. We have our own wells. We have our own school. And yet we have nothing we call our own. It all belongs to him. Isn't that something, huh? Do you know there's brothers on these grounds that haven't left the grounds for years? They don't go nowhere. They don't have to. But where am I going to Walmart? We got our own Walmart. You gave up your little old van for a lawnmower. And lawnmower's worth more than your van. Amen. Got plenty of grass to cut. So you ain't going to run out of things to do.
Amen.
Glory. Oh, boy. A fellow drove over here yesterday and Tom met him out front. He went to put rubber roofing on for us. He drove over here. He was put rubber roof on, man. He said, I got enough brothers around and I keep them busy. I don't need to hire anybody. We're busy. We keep busy. The other day you shot there. You'd have seen maybe something like 40 or 50 weeds. Pulling weeds. Oh, what a beautiful sight. Now, pulling weeds ain't so beautiful. But to see 50 brothers do it together, that is beautiful. To see brothers who can get out there and all put their back to the towels and each one doing not everyone doing only what he can do now. I pick more weeds than you. No, we're just pulling weeds. We're doing it all to the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, be to God. Hey, they go over there and they pick the old potato bugs. Now we can get rid of potato bugs. We go downtown and get some commercial poisoning, kill them all. But that would mess up our potatoes. So we let all you bug pickers acquaint yourself with bugs. How do you do it? Squash them? You squash them? Oh, boy. No wonder you got a smile on your face.
Glory.
Why not? I rebuke the devourer, God said. You guys out there killing them bugs, you're rebuking the devourer. Hallelujah. He chose you to do it. Come on. Come on. God killed and God makes alive. So he made the bugs come alive so you can kill them. He does all things well. You know, because we do that, we have probably the finest potato crop in the whole state of South Carolina. You understand that? South Carolina is not known for potatoes. We grow potatoes here with God's blessing. Like no place else in the state of South Carolina. Different varieties. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. But it's the truth. See, a prophet. This is something God showed me years ago, and I stood out here in the middle of nowhere. Amen. Had no money, and God said, buy this land. I said, for what? What am I going to do with a farm? I'm preaching. I don't need a farm. Okay. God said, I want you to make a place for my people. A refuge in the time of the end. Amen. Way back in Lynn, Pennsylvania, in a cow pasture. God said to me years ago, he said, the hope of the Christian church in America for physical survival in the end time would be in the southern states. And you know what I did? I went all the way to California. That's no southern state. And God said, you get out of here. He sent a prophet out there and told me, get out of here. I said, where am I supposed to go? He said, back to the southern states. I went to New York and Boston. And God said, get out of here. Go back to the southern states. I'd been in the southern states for years. Ku Klux Klan beat me up. I didn't want to come back to the southern states. They didn't want me to have black folk in my church. Well, I don't have black folk. You understand? You're not black, boy. You're a child of God. He ain't black. Trouble.
Amen.
I want God's folk. Amen. I want to redeem the blood washed. Hey, Las Vegas, Nevada. Boy, did I take a gamble out there. I rolled the dice, brother, in Las Vegas, went on a radio station, and look what I got. Hallelujah. Look what I got. Wow. Look what God got. Oh. I wish somebody get excited. That night was I started to preach because I was still on the end of the Philadelphia church age.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, they were still praying for the sick, R. Roberts and Jack Cohen, A. Allen. I was coming off of that. So I would never have a service without praying for the sick. I'd never have a service at that time without incorporating an offering getting scheme.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
That's what happened with the Philadelphia church. It turned into a merchandising of the truth. And I tried to tell you people years ago when we finally moved that into the Lacian church and prophecy began to come to the forefront. I said, you watch, they're going to do the same thing with prophecy like they did with the divine healing. They're going to make merchandise of it. You understand what these guys that deal with prophecy, they turn into making merchandise. Come on, they make merchandise of it. And I won't read that book on the Mark of the Beast. And you don't want to hear what God says. Ain't nobody can tell you what the Mark of the Beast is. No one. No one. Until it's revealed. It has to be revealed. There's no one who can tell you who the man of sin is. No one. No one. Until it's revealed. And how does God reveal it? By a prophet. Only by a prophet. No one. Not through a pastor. Not through a teacher. Not through circumstances. He reveals. He just drops it. So what does God do? He has to reveal to you who that prophet is. Then you receive the prophet. Then you receive the revelation. What in the world can I do to make you convinced I'm a prophet unless God reveals it to you? I do it again. I can tell you all day long. I even quote a scripture for you. You despisers. You wonder. You will perish. You despisers. He will despise.
Oh yes.
He said to me, you're going to be hated, son. You're going to be despised. And there's not a one in this place that hasn't had to deal with the spite towards me. Even you'd have to watch. You don't try to despise me for the way I talk to you. What you picked me out like that for? Well, isn't that nice? He picked you up. Isn't that nice that God picked you out? He said, now you despisers. You wonder, how can he talk to me like that and get away with it? So you're going to perish. Because what I'm doing, he says, I'm working a work in your day that you won't believe it's God doing it. Even if the man tells you, it's God. This is a work of God. This is a work of God. This is a work of God. It doesn't need your approval. It just needs your acceptance. Jesus Christ didn't have to have your approval. He just needed your acceptance. He was already approved. Come on, people. Jesus man approved of God. They hate him. They despise him. They reject him. Spit on him. Come on, but see, he don't need your approval. He just needs your acceptance. Oh, I said that so good. My God. Brother Christopher, how did I say it with Alan, Christopher? Excellent, huh? He doesn't need your approval. See, we as brothers and sisters don't need to approve of each other. We just need to accept each other. How did I say that? My God. Wow. Wow. Now is the accepted time. Today. Now we can accept this in the beloved. Hallelujah. Now we are redeemed. Now. Wow. It doesn't look like that, but we are. Hallelujah. 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 That's the only reason I talk to you folk. I don't approve the way you do, but I accept it. I accept you as God's people. Hey, you dry bones. Hey, son of man, Ezekiel. What do you see? I see a valley full of dry bones. What do you see when you walk into this tabernacle? I see a bunch of dry bones, God. A bunch of dry bones. And lo, are they very dry. You see him, son of man? I see him. Who are they? Who are them dry bones? I don't know. I don't know, he said. I don't know. They have no identity. I can't identify them. Well, God said, I'll tell you who they are. They're the whole house of Israel. Now, you talk to them. You preach to them. You prophesy to them. Hey, dry bones. Dry bones. Hey, dry bones. Whoa. Woo. Glory. Can you imagine? Have to prophesy to a bunch of dry bones. But when he got done, brothers, and you shall live. You shall live. You shall live. Now, before he could say you will live, he had to get them to come together. He had to get them to work together. So that's what God's doing. I got thinking about that again this morning. The revivals of the past were called miracle revivals, healing revivals, conventions.
Yes, sir.
And then all at once the prophet comes on the scene, and every time he calls a gathering, he calls it a gathering. Because we're getting ready for a gathering. We're going to be gathered. Gathered. Gathered the wheat in their barn. Gathered the saints in one. Glory be to God. Gathered. And you sent forth his angels. They shall gather. They shall gather. They shall gather. His elect. God bless you, Father. They're here. They're here. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Is God gathering together? Dry bones! Dry bones! Can you picture an old man preaching like this? God, mercy. Can you picture yourself putting forth that much energy, sir? I said, can you put yourself put forth that much energy for about 3 or 4 hours? Me, I'm 80 years old. Look at the energy I'm putting out here. You do that on your own, you'd be tired in 15 minutes. When I try to do things of my own, and the anointing's not on it, I get tired, man. Yeah. I go in the radio room sometimes, try to preach 50 minutes, I'm worn out. But when the anointing hit me, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, it just flows like a river, burns like a fire. I was preaching that night and praying for the sick. Mind you, the guy wants to know what a prophet does. In the middle of the meeting, a man walked in and he was sick. On a wheelchair and pushing him in, you could just see the man. He put him in, he put him right halfway down like that. And when he did, my heart went right out to him. And I started to preach a message to try to help this man. And I switched my whole message to divine healing. And I went to the story where they brought a man to Jesus. And Jesus said, Jesus said to the man, are you willing to be healed? Now, don't be smart. The word that Jesus used in the Testament was wilt. W-I-L-T. It means, are you willing?
Amen.
I thought that cipher now. Wilt. Wilt thou be made whole? That's the way it reads in the King James. In order to make you grasp it better, I tell you what the word will means. Can you imagine walking up to somebody so sick he can't hardly stand? And ask if he's willing to be healed. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that stupid? Anybody that's really sick wants to be healed, right? No? Hey, brother driver. Are you willing to receive your sight?
Yes, sir.
That's Sister Anderson. Are you willing to be healed? Cripples? Can't walk?
Yes, Lord.
Can't hardly feed yourself? An active woman all your life, and here you are, just about immobile. Would you like to be healed? Hey, are you willing to be set free from your youthful antagonism? Youthful lust? Are you willing? Now, the point I'm trying to get across is it's ridiculous to ask a sick person if they're willing to be healed. Anybody with good sense knows anybody's really sick would be willing to be healed.
Amen.
No?
Yes.
Yes. Would you think so?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So here Jesus walked over this man and says, are you willing to be healed? What are you doing, Lord? Anybody know? I'll go through it again. Anybody's ever been sick? Would you feel insulted if somebody said to you, brother driver, what an insulting question. Ask you, are you willing to be healed? Anybody knows a man with blind eyes would like to be healed? No? No? Am I wrong? Hey, how about a brother with that old bad knee you got? Are you willing to be healed? Well, my God, what a dumb question. Brother Stair, if you know how I suffered the other night with that thing, you have to, if I'm willing to be healed, God knows I'm not really willing, I want to be healed.
Yes.
So it would seem, huh?
So what would seem?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory.
Wilt thou be made whole, Jesus said to another man? Are you willing? Well, are you willing to become part of the whole house?
Amen.
Are you willing?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You don't like that, do you? You don't like God asking you to submit your will to Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, Brother Driver, and I'm going to tell you something, Sister Anderson. You are going to be healed. There's no sick person or blind person going into the kingdom. Every last one is going to be healed. Don't be no lame there, no blind there, no crippled, no lepers there. They're all going to be healed. Hallelujah. That's why I like the end of this. Because the end of it is going to settle it all. There'll be no sinners there, no blasphemers there, no homewriters there. At the end of all, right? The end. Hallelujah. The end. Glory be to God. That's my hope. That's why I keep running this race. Because a lot of things in my life, I'd like them to end. I'd like them to end. I'd like them to end. Once and for all and forever. I'm tired of R.G. Stare. He ain't nothing but trouble. He's always troubled me. That's why Paul said about you guys want to get married. You get married, you got trouble in your flesh. What? If I get married, all my troubles will stop. Is that right?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless it.
If you're having trouble with your flesh now, young lady, get yourself a husband. You've had to learn to live with one. Now you have to learn to live without one. But you still got them. Come forth, brother. Hang in there, Sister Daisy. Just hold right on.
Amen.
Hold right on.
Amen.
He left you a heritage.
Amen.
Faith
Amen.
In the man of God.
Amen.
You can trust him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Rick's another one of those guys that came down here, and I sold him sell his farm. Sold it, got $250,000, and gave it all. His wife's here with us. Moved down by the river, down there's where he died. Why, are you sad about that? Blessed are they which die in the Lord, for they shall cease from their labor. He don't have to work anymore about getting into the kingdom. His labors are over. Hallelujah. He got a guaranteed position in the kingdom of heaven. When you die in the faith, boy, you mean you die in the faith that will be in that resurrection. And in that resurrection morning, hallelujah. Come forth, brother. Come forth. Don't want to give up now.
That's right.
Not now. Oh, brother, over here, his wife, she died.
Yes, sir.
You were right there when she died.
Yes, sir.
Your two children left you?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes,
but you
sir.
Still got hope for the end.
That's right, brother.
Now, one thing about your wife, she's going to be there.
Glory!
The two children we're still concerned about.
Right.
But we hold fast our confidence, step back
to the end.
Hold to his hand.
God's unchanging hand.
Go ahead, brother.
Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand.
As I was preaching on in that tent, I was trying to help that fellow who came for healing. Because at that time, I would pray for the sick. I don't care what it was. And I seen some dramatic things. I told you how I saw God put a woman's breast back on.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
It seems so remote that sometimes when I talk to you, I got to say, did I really see that? That was 40 years ago. But I saw God
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
I saw him.
Glory.
I said I saw him.
Yes, Lord.
When San Bernardino, California, a man brought his wife in, he was not even saved. We were right in the middle of the service, like I am right here, and he got up and he walked down front. He looked me in the face and he said, can I talk to you people? He said, I'm not a Christian. I don't know too much about God. Listen, Tony!
Amen.
Jesus. My wife over here, she loves the Lord. So I'm an old construction worker. Said she's dying with breast cancer. She got her breast eaten off. And she's holding fast to God for healing. Said, I don't know about her God. I just know she knows about God. He said, I came home today and she was in bad shape. And she said, honey, there's a tent over here where they pray for the sick. Will you take me over? So I took off work to bring here. Because I love her. And she's dying. He's always asking you to do something. If you can do anything for this woman, please do it now. She's suffering here. I can't keep her that much longer. If you're not, if you can't do something for her, I'm going to take her home. Will y'all listen to me, please? Put that damn dumb looks on your face. So void of understanding simple descriptions.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory. It makes God very angry.
Yes, Lord. Oh, God.
Really does.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Wherefore went you out to see? You look like you don't see anything.
Oh, Jesus.
He brought the woman down. And I was working with another preacher. His name was Faye Spencer. Now, Faye Spencer was a man that had the gift of miracles. I did not have the gift. I never have had the gift of miracles. I've had the gift of faith. And I could pray the prayer of faith. I do have the gift of healing. But that all these gifts have to be operated by the Spirit of God. They can't be. I'm not going to go out and just show you something.
Right.
You understand my point?
Amen.
I'll show you I got the gift of healing. Open up your eyes. If I don't do that, unless God tells me to.
Right.
If God don't reveal to me the time I'm going to open his eyes, then I'm not going to force God's hand.
Amen.
There is a time for everything.
Amen.
See, I've learned over the years. I used to like to show people I was a man of God, so I pray for certain things. You know, yeah, I'll show you. One time I used to have water turned into wine. That's right. Yes, I did. Hey, Brother Chris!
Yeah.
You were there when the water turned into wine?
Amen.
Come on, Brother Chase. You want me to believe that? Well, I'll tell you what, you were there when God said, turn this oak into a prophet. You were there. Yes, sir. He said, that's my servant. That's it. Kept him around me for almost 40 years. Gave every dime he ever made. Lost his wife. Lost his family. And gave close to $500,000 for God's work. And still gets it today. He's an old man like you. He gets a pension of $30,000. And he gives every dime every month. Because 40 some years ago, he walked into my service with 15 to 20 people. He was getting ready to leave me. And God said, you can't leave him. He's my servant. Kept him all these years.
Yes.
Kept him all these years. A word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Has shaking palsy. Sometimes almost died on us a little while ago.
Yeah.
And the one that helped you stay alive, he's dead. And therefore the day he dies, you said, boy, I wish that had been me.
Amen. That's right.
Ah, some of you people, you don't have no conception at all of the spiritual workings of God, do you?
Amen.
You're so carnal. You're so of the world. God have mercy on your miserable soul. You're yet carnal. You walk as men. You think like men. To be carnally minded is death. And that preacher I was working with, boy, he was a bold one. The man brought his wife up, he pulled back her blouse. And right here was a big hole. And under her arm was another big hole. It was hideous.
Sure.
God, it was ugly.
Amen.
I looked at it and I thought, what's this guy going to do?
Amen.
But he had to get the miracle,
yes,
man.
Sir.
He couldn't preach a lick.
Amen.
He couldn't preach. Couldn't take his Texas.
Yeah, amen.
All he could do was pray for the sick and shout.
Amen.
And he did.
Amen.
Had one of the biggest tents in America.
Amen.
He had the old barroom and Bailey's circus tent. I helped put it up many times. Sometimes packed it in the doors.
Amen.
Because the man had the gift of miracle.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
See, most of you don't know a thing about that.
Yeah, amen.
Because you weren't around to see the miracles that God did, you forgot about the miracles that he did for you.
Right.
That's
right.
He did a miracle for you.
Yeah. Right.
My Father is omnipotent. And that you can't deny. He's a God of might and miracles. It's written in the sky.
Amen.
He put the sun in place, put the moon up there.
Yes.
Oh, and he saved your soul. Individual.
Yeah.
dispensary. It didn't faze him at all, man. Amen. I just stood there watching him because I was his protege, you know. I was his helper. Mm-hmm. Boy, he put his hand on that woman's head. Love. Asked God to give her a healing and love. Give her breast back. And right there in front of 700 or 800 people, the breast came right back home. The hole in the arm got healed up. The husband stood there watching that. And he got so scared, he ran. Amen. He ran out of the tent. Yeah. Ran, man. Whoa, what's going on? He was scared. Amen. He didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
We caught him about a block away.
Amen.
He was shaking like a leaf.
Amen.
He said, what was going on back there? Yeah. Come on, man. God just healed your wife.
Yeah.
He was.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's what happened. You see the power
of
God.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing how much unbelief is still here.
Glory to God.
I guess the only way you're going to believe that God's a healer is if I perform a miracle. Now, Jesus said that's all you guys are looking for, the miracles. You want the miracles. You don't want the word of God. You don't really want the real miracles, do you? Herod said, send Jesus over and let's work a miracle for us. So tell that old fox. Just tell that old fox, I'm working miracles. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm going to come over and take care of that old fox.
Amen.
Now, Jesus called the old guy a fox.
Yep.
Sly old fox.
Yes, sir.
Cunning.
Amen.
Now, back to the tent meeting. And by the way, God healed that woman.
Yes.
He healed her.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The next night, the man come back with her.
Amen.
Just as soon as we start serving, he come running down front. He said, would you please ask God to save me?
Amen.
Inside. That's why Jesus worked miracles, you know.
Amen.
So folk would want to get saved. That's why he worked a miracle on you, so you could be saved. Just know about him. I seen God heal me like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I was bit by a spider right there.
Amen.
Bit my leg. York, Pennsylvania, where God healed me.
Amen.
6 months of blood was running. I would actually walk out of the service with blood running, following me.
Yeah, amen.
One night I ran out of a service there in York. I kicked myself. A fella had kicked me.
Yeah.
I was working with a fella illustrating, and I had my arms around like this, and he got happy.
Yeah.
And he shouted, and his foot came up and kicked me right in that
mm-hmm.
right in that sore.
Yeah.
It was like somebody. It was an open sore that big.
Oh.
I went right to the ground, boy. I finished the service, hobbled out to the back room.
Amen.
Got in the back room, got in the pastor's office, and he come walking in. I'd been there for 3 weeks. He said, Bruce, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, amen.
And I began to tell him how I had this ulcer type thing on my leg
mm-hmm.
for 6 months.
Yeah, amen.
He said, you've been preaching for 3 weeks and you never said a thing about it?
Amen.
I said, well, I'm believing God.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, sir.
And it touched a man so much. His name was Elward Bell.
Mm-hmm.
It touched him so much, he fell on his face and he prayed for me. And God healed me.
Amen.
I almost forget which one it is.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the meeting. See, a fellow wants to know what a prophet does.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I'm preaching to this guy who's sick.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get him to get faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to the story where Jesus said to the man, wilt thou be made whole?
Yeah.
I walked back to him and I said to him,
okay.
Are you willing to be healed?
Oh, Jesus.
He said, you can't do it. That's what he answered me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, I'm asking you, are you willing to be healed? You can't heal me. He said, those are your words. I said, no, those are not my words. That's his word. He's the one that said, wilt thou be made whole. But you ain't Jesus. I said, are you willing to be healed? You can't do it. I said, get out of here. I threw him right out. And Jesus cast him out. He's going to cast you out, folks. You don't want God to save you? You don't be saved?
Amen.
Amen.
God to be Lord of your life?
Oh, yes.
You're going to cast you out.
Amen. Oh, yes, Lord.
Now, if you come to me as Lord and say, I won't cast you out. But if you reject me, as the Lord, that's what he's telling you now.
Amen.
He's going to cast you out.
Amen.
Those words are designed to put the fear of God in you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Most of us don't have that.
Amen.
Most of us don't have it.
Yeah,
amen.
Yes.
Hmm? Amen. When I put the man out, the so-called guy wanted to be a prophet. He got mad and he went running out after. I said, leave him alone.
Right.
And he went out to try to feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah, amen.
And I was praying. I said, look, I told you, leave him alone. He said, boy, is that the way a prophet operates? I said, that's the way they do it. He said, I don't want to be a prophet. I said, don't worry. You won't be. Is that the way Christians live? Yep. Then I don't want to be a Christian. Don't worry. And you won't be one.
Amen.
That is the way Christians live.
Amen.
This is the way Christians live. The Bible meant exactly what it said.
Yes.
It said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together or living together.
Yes.
There's not too many of us, so we can actually live together.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
You're not going to want to live with your family. You might have to leave your family to live with God's people.
Amen.
Here's a couple back here. They chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God.
Amen.
Got a family, got kids.
Amen.
Come over here and say, we want to be with the people of God.
Yes.
So he got him a house, sold it to him for $25,000. Then go ahead, wasn't it? Huh?
23.
And they live out here, 10 miles away.
Yep. Right.
They come to service.
Yep.
The kids don't bother them anymore because they ain't got no more money.
Right. Amen.
As long as they had the money, the kids kept bothering them. Hey, Dad, how's it going, Dad? Send me another $1,000.
Amen.
I said, we'll fix that. We'll make sure you give all your money up.
Hallelujah. Glory.
The world won't holler for you too much if you ain't got too much to give it.
Amen.
The world will leave you alone if you get free from the lust of the lip.
Yeah.
Now the world won't entice you if you ain't got no more to give it. That's where a prophet works.
Amen.
He cries aloud, he spares not.
Amen.
Lifts up his voice like a trumpet.
Amen.
Tells God's people their sins.
Amen.
I told you this a long time ago that the sins of God's people are not the same sins, although they're the same sins, but they're not in the same spirit. A sin of God's people is much more devastating because it destroys God's people. The world's already condemned. Your sins, if you don't find deliverance for them, they're going to condemn you, whether you like it or not. So we try to show you your sin. You see, and the sins of God's people is stubbornness, apostasy. You know what apostasy is? Everyone he had to deal with this morning. It's unbelief. Well, God sent me here, but I don't believe he's doing right. What is that? What is that? What is that?
All right,
now. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, Jesus would never act like you. And how many times have I stood before you people and told you how Jesus acted? You know what time a woman came to Jesus to ask him for help? You know what the Bible says? It says he wouldn't even answer her. He wouldn't. Jesus would do that?
Yeah. Amen. Right.
Jesus. I was raised in the Philadelphia church age where they were telling you, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
Seek and you shall find.
Right.
Everyone had asked. That's what I was told. And I believe it. The Bible's there. But here comes Jesus. To a woman come to Jesus and she asked him for something and he wouldn't even answer her. What's going on here?
Amen.
And there's where the prophet kicked in.
Yes.
When I read that one time after years and years of preaching, I said, what is it, God? Why did Jesus not answer this woman? Why? He himself said, call upon me and I'll answer.
Right.
Here's a woman that called and he wouldn't answer.
Right.
He himself said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. His disciples turned around and said, Lord, send her away. And Jesus said, that's right, woman, go away. Go away, woman. I have not been sent to help you. That's what he... Don't do it. Don't do it, brothers. I'm telling you. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said, I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she was not of the house of Israel. So he said, I've not been sent to help her. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said.
Hallelujah.
I hate the spirit. People think they know the word of God. I'd like to ask you a question. Suppose you were standing there.
Right.
And you'd have seen Jesus treat that woman like that. Huh? The Bible said the woman had a daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil. Tormented, had fits, had spells.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Would that move you? You saw the little girl in a convulsion right here?
Amen.
That wouldn't move you?
Amen.
We had a mom over here that dropped dead right here, right there.
Yeah.
That up, mama. She, right there. She dropped dead right here, right here. Right here. Huh? But her death was not ordained of God.
Amen.
The devil tried to kill her. And we wouldn't let them do it. And I wasn't even here. But because the spirit of the prophets around here, hallelujah, these folk had a revelation. Bring her back, brothers. Bring her back. Huh? Come on, because the spirit of the prophet. Didn't need me here. Didn't need the spirit of the prophet here. Come on, mama.
Glory. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Boy, I could stand all day long and go one inch. Thank you, dear. All day long.
Yes, sir.
Why did Jesus do that to that woman? See, those are the things that God showed me.
Those
are the things that you heard preached for years. For instance, the time when he came walking on the water. Well, we always taught that like a beautiful thing. Then one day I read, and Jesus came onto them, walking upon the water, and he would have passed by them. I never believed it like that. I believe they came walking on the water to help him. And he would go pass it right on by. What are you doing, Lord? See, when that ministry of a prophet beginner forming me, I become inquisitive. And because I'm a prophet and I can talk face to face with God, I can go and say, come on, God, tell me. I got to tell these people something. Then so God tells me, then I tell you. Isn't that so? You receive the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. I can tell you why Jesus treated a woman like that. I don't care how many. See, a lot of these folk have heard me say this, and they didn't look bored with it. But what a story.
Yeah.
What a story.
Thank you, Father.
My God.
Yes,
and how many times have I preached it to you people here?
Yeah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Only two places in the Bible. Only two places. Only two places in the Bible where Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of faith, he knows faith now.
Yes.
He authors it.
Yes.
He can tell when it's finished.
Amen.
Only two places in the Bible where Jesus himself said, great faith.
Yes.
Only two places. Yes. And both of them were people outside of the covenant.
That's right. That's right.
You see, under the covenant, you have automatic benefits. But that old covenant, that old law covenant, the only benefit you got from it was you learned you were a sinner. So it really had no benefit to save you, did it? Did it? But if you received the message of sin and you have faith, now you can enter into the new covenant. Hallelujah. Oh, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Something wrong here, Lord. There's just not a hunger for truth. I'm just not a good enough gourmet cook.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
But we've heard that before. Yes, sir. And I've preached it before.
Yes,
But oh my. To hear Jesus finally say to that woman, he went after her first, then he said, go away, woman. He just, don't do that to me. I know what he said.
Amen.
She turned to the disciples.
Right.
And she said, speak to him for me. So they went to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, this woman is crying after us.
Right.
Want us to do something about it. We can't do anything. Come on, Lord, do something. He said, and hear what he said. He actually said, in paraphrasing, I have not been sent to help her.
Amen.
Where is it? You want me to read it for you? Here's what he said. I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she did not belong to the house of Israel.
Right.
She was a Gentile.
Right.
Come on. So I've not been sent.
Right.
Jesus was sent to the Jew first.
Yes.
Jesus was never sent to the Gentile.
Right.
He was sent to the Jew.
Yes.
He used Paul to go to the Gentile.
Yes.
Come on. He used Peter to open the door.
Yes.
Although he did minister to the Gentiles.
Right.
But he was not sent.
Right. Amen.
His primary mission was to the Jew, to the Jew, to the Jew.
Yes.
He came to his own.
Yes.
He came to his own.
Yes.
And his own received him.
Yes.
I was so much excited around here. Jewish matter. He sent to Israel. The house of Israel. Hey, you lost sheep. Somebody got to tell you, you're Israel. You're lost. You don't know it. So I'm trying to tell you, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one God, one way. Hallelujah. And all Israel shall be saved.
Amen.
Well, I didn't get close to what I thought I was going to do. Maybe I better read that one thing yet. Let me see where that's at. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You received me. You fellowship me. You accepted my message. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the last day. That's the last day. That's the last day! Even as it is most or me, or right, for me to think this of you. He said, I know you folk, but it's right for me to think that you are God's people. I know you. Oh, Paul, he was something, huh? He was something, wasn't he? It's right for me to talk to you as God's people.
Amen.
It's right for me to expect something from you as the people of God. It's right for me to expect the old dry bones to start rattling. It's right for me to expect some kind of response out of you. What I was speaking, a bunch of dry bones that ain't going to come together? For as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, when I was in the prison house 77 days, I was more concerned about this ministry and about you than I was concerned about me.
All right now. Yes, Lord.
I've been in the place many times with the Apostle Paul, like I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord. Many times in the last several weeks and months.
Hallelujah.
He's on a straight between two.
Yes,
You just don't know the scriptures. You just don't. You know what Paul finally said about that? He said, I decided to stay. You mean Paul can decide to stay?
Yes.
Did Paul decide to leave?
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm
ready. Yes, sir, I'm
ready. He wouldn't leave until he was ready.
Amen.
Come on. And when it's time for him to go, he said, I'm ready. Amen. Well, I've been trying to tell you people I'm getting ready. Because it ain't going to be too much longer now. And any way you want to look at it.
Amen.
I know God can keep me alive until I'm 150, 200, 500, but he's not going to.
No.
He's not going to.
No, sir. Thank God.
He told me that after I'm dead, after I'm killed.
Yes, sir.
Jesus.
And I'm getting used to being killed because I'm killed all day long by some of you folks. Some of you folks just kill me, just kill me. I'm getting used to being killed.
Hallelujah.
I told you this a long time ago. When I stand before the Pope, that's going to be a piece of cake after standing before some of you folks.
Amen.
See, I'm sure who he is and I'm sure who you are.
Amen.
So I got to be a little bit different in the way I deal with you because God's not trying to kill you. He's trying to save you.
Yes,
God's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to preserve you. See, so I have to be a little different. When I get thrown out of that pole, I will have nothing to do. Just lay it right on. Just lay it right on. Pow! Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
You won't do it. Well, there's a lot of things that God told me I was going to do that I didn't think I could do.
Amen.
That I found myself doing anyway.
Amen.
We're not down that prison house. 77 days now. So what were you put in jail for? Why, for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It strengthened my testimony when I came out.
Yes, sir.
My testimony that Jesus Christ is coming in your lifetime.
Amen.
They thought they were going to silence my mouth. They took $800,000 out of my hand. 800,000, brothers.
Amen.
Hear me.
Amen.
God had blessed me. We had $800,000 to preach this gospel around the world, and they sued me and took every dime away from me. Took every single dime, every single dime out of my hand. And I still kept going on. And about 2 years after that, they turned around. The court made them give it back. People don't hear that. Oh, they took it. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, we've been spending it lock, stock, and barrel, preaching this gospel to the world.
Hallelujah.
We're down now to about 300,000 out of 800.
Hallelujah.
That's enough for about 3 more months. There's 4 more months.
Yes.
If God don't work a miracle, the broadcast stops.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thanks. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I know God is God. And God won't ever change. I know God is God. And he always will be God. He's God up on the platform. He's God back at the door. Like to give glory to God for a bit.
Amen.
Because of what he's done for me.
Yes, Lord.
It brought me out of a horrible pit. Pick me up out of the miry clay.
Yes, Lord.
Set my feet upon the rock. Establish my going.
Amen.
Put a new song in my mouth.
Hallelujah.
Even praise to our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I stand here because an effectual door has been opened up unto me. I've been given the opportunity. And of course, there are many adversaries.
That's all right.
But God is God. And He always will be God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Glory. God on the mountain. God in the sea. He's God in you. He's God in me. Like to say that to those that are listening, we have a few gathered here in the tabernacle on the Sabbath day.
Yes, Lord.
We just heard the voice of the prophet.
Yes.
Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Yes. We're still here because we believe.
Yes.
The message.
Yes.
Of the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
That's the soon coming kingdom.
Yes.
Because Satan's kingdom
Yes.
is coming down.
Yes.
Satan is the God of this world.
Yes,
he is. But his kingdom's coming down. And the Lord's kingdom will reign forever. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory.
Yes, Lord.
So this is what you could call the week of Pentecost. Tomorrow being Pentecost.
Yes.
The day after the Sabbath. So we have a special gathering. And again, we'll be here tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
But also, I'd like for us to come back this evening at 7. We do that anyway. And we'll see what the Lord will do. But for sure, 10 o'clock tomorrow, and we'll just go from there. God is good.
Yes, he is.
His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
God, the Lord loves you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
He sought you and he bought you with his redeeming blood.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He has for you an expected end. Pray one for another.
Amen.
And serve one another by love. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Jesus.
We're going through a transition.
Thank
you. You all know that.
Amen.
But the captain of the host knows the way.
Amen.
God is still in control.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
And he still loves his own.
Glory, yes, Lord.
He'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us.
Amen.
You'll be with us always.
Amen.
Even unto the end.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Just listening to the words of the prophet, he still deals with how we treat one another, how we love one another.
Amen.
Every time I've ever heard him preach.
Yes, Lord.
Hmm?
Yes.
He talks about how we accept the saints.
Amen.
How about that? Because we are the accepted.
Yes.
In the beloved.
Yes.
Not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we have this commandment. If we love God, we love the brother and also. If we love God, we love the brethren also.
Yes,
we love the things of God. Not the things of the world, but the things of God.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes, Lord.
And the things that be of God.
Yes, Lord.
We love the fellowship of the saints.
Hallelujah.
We love the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
huh?
Hallelujah.
We love the peace of God.
Yes, Lord.
There's nothing like the peace of God.
Yes.
The peace of God passeth all understanding. Like all the things of God, it doesn't require anything else. It doesn't need anything to prop it up. God's peace is God's peace. Doesn't need this situation, doesn't need that situation. This doesn't have to happen, that doesn't happen. God's peace. Huh? It's like God's love. Huh? It's self-existing. Exists of itself. Like contentment. It exists of itself. You don't need anything to be content. Be content with such things as you have. Thank you, Lord. That's how God is. He exists of himself. He is God. Hallelujah. You all aren't sorry about that, are you? I'm getting some puzzling looks out there. It's like I'm not speaking the right language. I'm speaking the language of love. Hallelujah. You all understand the language of love, don't you? I'm speaking God's love to us. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. We'll come back again at 7, praise God.
Amen.
All right, let us stand.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for that which you've spoken to our hearts this day. These saints gathered, your love to us, word, and the hope of eternal life in the coming of thy kingdom. Keep us in this patient waiting, Father. Give us that which is needful in this hour. We'll give you the praise.
Hallelujah.
We'll give you the glory.
Yes, Lord.
And thanksgiving. And all things, Father, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Maranatha.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Yes.
Lord be with you.
Ilobo kando shikababatei.